From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Gerald Murray. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, tremendous Thursday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. If you'd like to be part of the program, pick up the phone and give us a call. Wide open phone lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd still love to hear from you. That number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email. The email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams, Pedro Quiles producing the program. Your call screener is Matt Gubensky and Ace McKay handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, first of all, like the program and subscribe to the channel. That will help us get the message out to the most number of people we can. And you can write a question. You can type a question into the chat window there, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. And our host, as he is every Thursday, although not always tropical, but tropical this Thursday, is Father Gerald Murray. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. I'm coming to you live from the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas. I'm down here visiting the Order of Malta and the diocese, and we had a beautiful day of recollection the other day for Our Lady of Lourdes. So it's great to be with our listeners coming from the American Virgin Islands.
The Virgin Islands are absolutely fantastic. I remember my late wife Susie and I early in our marriage were on a cruise that went through the Virgin Islands, and we had to take, it was an old ship, so we had to take tender boats into the various places. And when we were at St. Martin, the tender boat pilot, as we were going in, said, "I know that many of you have heard that there is a nude beach on the other side of this island. It is true, but I must caution you, you do not get to select who is nude. So enter at your own risk." That's my memory of the Virgin Islands forever. So,
well, let's park that in the memory bank and we'll move
yes,
on.
Yes, we heeded his advice, by the way.
Good.
I have an email here from Tom. He says, let's skip that. It's got a lot of specific scripture references that we don't want to waste all of our time looking up. Amanda says, "Why does the creed say that Jesus descended into hell when on the cross he tells the thief that he would be with him in paradise?"
Well, because this is a question that, you know, has to do with the unique nature of who Jesus Christ is. He is true God and true man. He is the eternal Son of God, and he is the Son of Mary in time. So as God, he is always in heaven, in addition to being present on earth in the incarnate form, the incarnate Word of God. So, yeah, God is, it's one of the mysterious things of the Trinity to understand, that God can be in both earth and heaven at the same time, but he is. That's just the nature of who he is. And so, yeah, so his soul descended into hell, meaning the place of the just, those who had died before the salvation offered by Christ, and we call it the bosom of Abraham. It's the place where Jesus went to bring those souls back up and open the gates of heaven so that they could be forever in paradise. So, it's a beautiful mystery, the Trinity and the nature of God's presence both in heaven and on earth when Jesus was here before his ascension.
Ernesto writes in, "Are good things and bad things both the will of God?"
Well, we have to distinguish. Nothing happens outside of the scope of divine providence. On the other hand, when people commit sins, that's not God willing them to commit the sin. That's their own decision. So when we talk about bad things in the sense of morally morally chosen, we let back that up. Making bad moral choices falls upon the sinner, not upon God. But God allows it as part of the mystery that human beings are created with freedom, and that we make choices for ourselves, and that's the way God made us. So nothing happens outside the scope of divine providence, but not everything that happens is willed by God. You talk about the permissive will of God. He allows it to happen without willing it to happen. On the other hand, God can draw out of that good for the soul and for other souls.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Camille writes in, why wasn't Jesus accepted in his own town when so much was miraculous about his birth and his mother?
Well, that's a good question to understand. The extent of how many people knew about Jesus and Mary and who he was, about his miracles, we don't have complete picture of how widespread the knowledge was, but we certainly know from the thousands who went to visit him all over Galilee and in Judea that it was well known. That, you know, brought people out, particularly the miracles. Now, the question is, you have to have faith. When you see something out of the ordinary happening, such as a sick person being raised up, let's say the paralytic who was lowered through the roof by his four friends, and then, you know, Jesus told him to stand up and pick up his mat, you can attribute that to divine action, or you could make a wrong estimate, say it was magic, or that it was all a fraud because he really wasn't paralyzed. There are different ways you can look at it. But of course, what Jesus did has to be combined with what he said, because in the interest of that miracle, you know, he did said so that in order that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, because he has said, which is easier to say, pick up your mat and walk, or your sins are forgiven. So we understand that it was a call to faith. Many believed, others didn't. That's the great drama of human existence.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Hilda says, I teach CCD. How can I answer them when they ask if there was incest at the beginning of creation?
Well, the answer is that when God, it wasn't incest because it was not a violation at that time of the divine plan, because naturally the first parents gave rise to their children, and then their children gave rise to the next generation. The forbidding of marriage of cousins and brother and sister and aunt and uncle and that kind of thing, that came in later, and it's part of the progression, the development of the human race. It's actually an interesting question. I need to study it more. But it was not incest because that's the way God created. That was his plan at the beginning. But then later on, as the human race diversified and spread out over many, wider range, then medically and scientifically, it's clear that having relations and conceiving children with close relatives produces medical abnormalities that need to be avoided. And it also contributes to a sexualization of the immediate family that after the fall of mankind, that was not a good thing. So over time that became evident. So yeah, it's a very interesting question.
Yeah, this is a very nuanced topic because, you know, just when you think you may have it figured out from the beginning, then you have to deal with Noah getting off the boat, right?
Yep. And, you know, there are mysterious aspects to it, but in the divine plan, it became clear over time that, conceiving children with close relatives was no longer permitted, and that was made evident to mankind as such.
833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. It is an absolutely free phone call anywhere in North America. 833-288-3986. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Melina in the Republic of Texas, George in New Jersey, Frank is in Connecticut, and we still have a couple of open lines for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And if you'd rather send us an email, we'd be happy to receive that as well. The email address is simply openline@ewtn.com. That's openline, all one word, at ewtn.com. It's EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Gerald Murray.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, the feature offering from EWTN Publishing for the month of February is Pilgrim's Pray by Father Thomas Dubé. Father Dubé, just a treasure to the church in America and worldwide, shows you how to grow in intimacy with the Father and how to respond to the Holy Spirit's grace with humility, trust, and joy. Each page guides and propels you to turn ordinary moments into acts of devotion, draw meaning from suffering, and transform uncertainty into loving surrender to divine providence. That's Pilgrim's Pray. It's a treasury of peace for all who seek to journey with Jesus, Mary, and the saints along the narrow way that leads to eternal joy. Pilgrim's Pray by Father Thomas Dubé, available now at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Did you ever meet Father Dubé, Father Murray?
I never had that privilege, but I've certainly read his writings, and what a—
Well, just reading his books puts peace in your heart, doesn't it?
Absolutely. No, he was very close to God, and he had a great way of explaining the spiritual life.
His prayer primer is just, I mean, one of the most profound things I've ever— It's hard for me to get through because every other page you just have to sit and meditate on what you just read.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrific. To the phones we go. First up today is Melina in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Melina, you are on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hello, Father. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Melina. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Of course. I have a question. Do we as parents have the same authority that priests do to pray over our own children?
Well, it's not a priestly prayer that the ministerial priesthood, you have to be ordained, and then you act as a priest and giving blessings, including laying hands on someone as part of a blessing ceremony. But parents traditionally do bless their children and even make the sign of the cross over them. But that's, you know, in the mode of parental love and guiding the child closer to God. So yeah, it's perfectly acceptable and good, but it's not a priestly blessing because neither of the parents is ordained.
But it would be sort of exercising their role as priest of the faithful, right?
Well, yeah,
with regard to priest, prophet, and king is what I'm kind of referring to.
Yeah. I mean, the royal priesthood of all the baptized, you know, that we are, we act offering spiritual sacrifices, but it's not the priestly blessing the same as what bishops and priests give. But on the other hand, a blessing is actually calling down upon someone God's favor, and we can all do that in whatever our capacity is.
Does that help, Melina?
Yeah, I guess my question was just that when we're taught as I went to Eucharistic a meeting for a Eucharistic minister, and they said that we're not supposed to lay our hands, of course, over, you know, to give them a blessing, that the priest only does that. So I guess that's what kind of brought up the question, if we're allowed to actually lay our hands on our own children.
Well, I think that for the Eucharistic or extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, what they don't want is there's a common custom we've talked about on the program of people who are not receiving communion coming up in the communion line and then asking for a blessing. And then, you know, some priests will actually lay their hand on the person. Eucharist ministers not supposed to do that because that's not, that can be misinterpreted, and it's certainly not the role of a layman in regards to, you know, another member of the church. Parents are a little different because they have a natural sovereignty, so to speak, over their children, and you know, as representing, you know, the ones who try to bring them closer to God, they ask, you know, God to favor their children.
God bless you, Melina. Thanks so much for the phone call today. That frees up a line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Frank is in the great state of Connecticut, listening on the Amazon Echo today. Frank, you are on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little confused that when I pray for the Lady of Mount Carmel, Lady of Fatima, Lady of Lourdes, Lady of Guadalupe, and Lady of Smiles. It's all the same saint. It's the Blessed Mother. So I'm a little confused with my intention. Should I just pray to the Blessed Mother for my intentions or keep praying to each individual saint? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, well, there's only one saint, the Blessed Virgin Mary, but she has many titles, we say. And she has, you know, she's Queen of the Universe, she's Queen of the Americas. We invoke the titles to remind us of an aspect of what divine providence has established, that she be honored in different ways. You know, she's honored because God sent her to Lourdes. So we say Our Lady of Lourdes prayed for us, but God also sent her to Guadalupe in Mexico. So we say Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it's all the same Blessed Mother, just different titles, and those titles remind us of some aspect of divine providence.
Thanks, Frank. We appreciate the call today. Jennifer in Dallas, Texas called in, Father, and wasn't able to hold on. She said, why is the wording changing in the apostolic pardon? Is there a difference in what's actually happening?
Well, I'm not sure what word changing is going on in the apostolic pardon. Have you heard anything about that, Jack?
I have not. My speculation is that it may have something to do with the new translation of the breviary.
Well, the
and I know the apostolic pardon is not in the breviary, but I'm just wondering.
Not in breviary. It's in a you know, it's in the ritual. It's connected with the ritual for penance. So I have to look at that new ritual for penance and see if they changed the wording. I'm not sure, but you know, the apostolic pardon is ecclesiastically established. The wording is not given in the Bible. You know, it's the church established that the wording, and if the church changes it, that's fair for the church to do. But I'm not really sure what she's referring to.
And I can't envision that it could change the desired outcome.
No, the same for, you know, it's to ask God to, you know, grant a plenary indulgence, you know, the forgiveness of all the temporal punishment due to sin for the person for whom the apostolic pardon is being given, meaning the dying person typically, or someone who's in, you know, grave illness or, you know, that kind of thing. That's given more or less at the moment of death or proximate to it.
Still an open phone line for you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. George is up next in the great state of New Jersey, listening on the EWTN app today. George, you're on with Father Murray.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hello, Father. I had a question concerning the alleged crown jewel of Catholic higher education out there in Indiana, the University of Notre Dame. They have appointed to their Asian studies department a professor who's not only pro-choice, she is vehemently pro-abortion. And the bishop of the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, had the courage to condemn this. I appreciate his actions in doing that. Is there any way to compel the university, canonically, legally speaking, to obey the directive of the Bishop of South Bend, Fort Wayne, or in the alternative, to withhold whatever funds the diocese is providing, which are probably minimal. It's not like Notre Dame needs any money from anybody. To some way, somehow, step up the pressure on Notre Dame to remove this scurrilous person from the chair of a important department of education at the University of Notre Dame.
Well, no, this is a big scandal going on right now because they appointed a woman professor who is a vehement promoter of abortion and a public critic of the pro-life movement. And she is now being made charge of the Asian Studies program. The Bishop of Fort Wayne has asked the university to withdraw this nomination because it's completely contradicting the Catholic mission that Notre Dame was founded for and continues to describe itself as following. So it's really an appeal to the board of the university. And apparently I was told they met and they reaffirmed the decision to give this job to this pro-abortion person. So the recourse that you have is, of course, making known your opposition to it. You know, Notre Dame, like any other college, listens to publicity, good or bad, takes note of it, writing to the board, writing to the president of the university, trying to make it clear to them how wrong this is. Certainly Bishop Barron has come out in support, Bishop Ricken. I'm sure other bishops are doing the same. Bishop Rhodes there in Indiana, his critique. You can also write to the Holy See. You know, the Notre Dame was founded by the Congregation of the Holy Cross, but it passed, ownership of the university passed over to a lay-dominated board. But nonetheless, it promotes itself as a Catholic university, trying to promote itself as a Catholic research university. So reminding them that this this is promoting an anti-Catholic approach at Notre Dame. So, yeah, we can do all of those things, but in the end, Notre Dame will establish its own reputation by its actions, not by what is written down in its catalog.
Thanks so much, George. We appreciate that phone call today. It's EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Gerald Murray. If you would like to be part of the program, we would love to talk to you. Our toll-free number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us the email. The email address is openline, all one word, openline@ewtn.com. And if you just can't do any of those options, we can actually provide you a vehicle by which you can leave us your question on a voicemail recording. That's our listener comment line, and that number is 1-205-795-5773, and it's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's Open Line Thursday with Father Gerald Murray.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to another EWTN radio partner, KJCR 107.9, serving Grants Pass, Oregon, is celebrating 11 years with us this week. Congratulations to Connie Murphy and her team at His Mercy Radio from all of us here at EWTN. 833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Next up is Joni, a first-time caller in Ann Arbor, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Joni, you are on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling
great,
because
Joni, thank you.
I have a question about the Transfiguration. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he had a glorified body, if I'm not mistaken. And so I don't understand the difference between the glorified body and what is the Transfiguration. What is the difference, and could you tell me?
Sure. Well, yeah, the glorified body is the risen body of Christ, and he's called the firstborn from the dead. And it is as the firstborn of the dead, it's a sign to us of what our bodies will be at the resurrection from the dead for us. The Transfiguration, on the other hand, was the divinity of Christ shining through his human body. He is a divine person with a human nature, and that the divinity of Christ becomes visible because white is God is pure light, and God's light shining through the body of Christ is for us. It was a prediction or prefigurement of how he would appear after he rose from the dead. But it was a sign to the apostles precisely that Christ is the light of the world, and that he came as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, because recall again that at the Transfiguration, Jesus spoke. Peter and John were on there, up on the mountain, and then he was talking to Elijah and Moses. So the Old and New Testament are represented, and Christ is the light. So it's a prophetic sign of what will happen first to Christ, and then to all of us at the second coming.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. That's the number John used in Bel Air, Maryland. He's listening on Sirius XM Channel 130 today. John, you're on with Father Gerald Murray.
Yeah, just a question. When Jesus was performing miracles, quite often at the end of his performing of the miracle, he would say, all right, now go and don't tell anybody about this. Why wouldn't you want people to tell people about it?
Well, this is a good question, because naturally, if there are these miracles, when he did, there were some people around. Some he took people apart, like the blind Mary applied the mud to his eyes. But the goal, I believe, was that Jesus wanted the person who received the miracle to understand that the goal of receiving a miracle was not to boast or proclaim yourself, as specially favored by God, even though, of course, it is a great favor from God to be miraculously healed. Jesus was not a celebrity. He was not seeking the status of a celebrity to be, hailed and applauded because he was a great worker of miracles. He wanted the miracles to draw people to faith, to believe in the truth of what he said. The miracles are designed to provide a preview of, the spiritual healing that Christ will bring to the world through his death and resurrection. It's a preview of the world to come, where there is no disease or death. Jesus did not come to heal every single person who was sick, raise everybody from the dead, and say, this is why I'm here. No, these are signs that were meant to draw people to faith. And therefore, he told them, don't go boasting or speaking about it even. But we know some of the people couldn't help it, which is very understandable. And other miracles were visible to people. They saw it. They saw the paralytic I spoke of earlier, who was lowered down on his mat through the roof of the house where Jesus was teaching. Everybody saw him get up and pick up his mat. So Jesus did want his miracles to become known, but the way he did it, there are different lessons to be learned.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. A couple of open lines all of a sudden at 833-288-3986. Linda's in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio today. Linda, you are on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hello, Father Murray. Okay, I have a question. I have a daughter. Her husband died 4 years ago. They had a little daughter at the time, and so she doesn't go to church. She's an alcoholic, and then she was going to this fortune teller with her mother-in-law, and I told her not to go there, that it brings evil. So the little girl, to me, has experienced night terrors. Well, she doesn't like to sleep with her mother or anything like that. And she has to fight with her every night to get her to bed. And, you know, she hardly sleeps. So anyway, she was over, and I watch her a lot. So she was over this Saturday, and I had back surgery a couple months ago. And I was telling my husband that day that you have to start massaging my, you know, my incision in the back. And so we talked about it a lot and then went on. And so me and her, and she was not in the house. It was just me and my husband. So me and her was throwing a ball that night. And before she threw it to me, she says, "Grandma, you need Grandpa to put lotion on your incision." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "You need to put lotion on your back." And I said, "Well, who told you that?" Because we were never talking about it. And she stops and she says, she looks at me and she says, "My daddy." And she's always saying her daddy talks to her. So I was wondering if my daughter is bringing in evil spirits when she goes to these fortune tellers.
Well, yeah, tell your daughter not to go to fortune tellers. The church forbids that. We do not believe in fortune tellers. And we also, you know, warn people that they could be, you know, working with the devil in the sense of either consciously seeking the devil to help them or just being a dupe of the devil by pretending to predict the future. So, no, fortune telling is wrong. Nobody should go to a fortune teller. Catholics are specifically warned against it as part of their fidelity to Christ. So, encourage your daughter. It sounds, you know, I feel sorry that she lost her husband. She's got problems with alcoholism. You know, encourage her to seek healing in Christ and prayer. It would be a good idea to give her a miraculous medal to wear and tell her it'd be time to make a good confession.
Excuse me, Father. What about relaying to her the incident that she just described to us with her granddaughter? I think that might have an impression on her.
It certainly would, and you know what the granddaughter, whether she had a dream or something, we don't know, but you know whether she heard somebody talking about how you treat her grandmother's back incision, whatever, who knows, but certainly the fact that the daughter, in divine providence, is you know trying to take care of her grandmother. Or the granddaughter thing, grandmother is a sign that the daughter herself better do better job at that.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Karen is in Mandeville, Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Karen, you're on with Father Gerald Murray.
I have, I'm very Catholic, been Catholic all my life. I'm very much of a firm believer. But I have a grandson. My daughter's atheistic, and she really did not teach him anything about God or that type of thing. So he has he's only 27, and he has been diagnosed with a sarcoma, which is a really bad type of cancer. And if this child's going to take chemotherapy, but my question is, how do I approach him about God, about Mary, and all the things that I truly believe in, when he is just out there in the world and just really, really bad off? He's very angry because he has the cancer, and I can understand that. But I don't know what exactly to say to him. He could be very close to death at this point, and I'm very afraid for him.
Yes, well, God bless you for, you know, calling and talking about this, because, he definitely needs spiritual renewal. He needs to be baptized and to you know, come to faith in Christ, you know him such that you might be able to introduce the subject in a conversation, or, you know, perhaps ask him questions. What do you believe happens when you die? Have you heard about Jesus' teaching about, you know, eternal happiness in heaven? Have you, you know, heard about Jesus rose from the dead? All of these things to, you know, guide him to believe, because we're all here on this earth, at, you know, because of God, and therefore he calls us to himself. And those who are not raised such as believers, you know, this is the moment to seize. I will certainly pray for him and for your efforts with him.
God bless you, Karen, and a lot of our listeners will keep you and your family in their prayers as well. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. I want to invite you to check out The World Over with Raymond Arroyo tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio and Television. On tonight's show, Sebastian Lai and Father Robert Sirico talk about the sentencing of Catholic businessman and democracy activist Jimmy Lai to 20 years in prison in a Hong Kong court. Also, Raymond will be joined by Monsignor Jason Gray, the executive director of the Archbishop Fulton Sheen Foundation, and Sheen family member Rosemarie Hollinger-Costello, with the latest on the Vatican's approval of the beatification of Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon will talk about the rise in attacks on churches and houses of worship in the United States. And last but not least, Hollywood's Kelsey Grammer. He talks about the opening of his musical production of Bernadette, which will start in Chicago coming up on the 19th of February. That's The World Over with Raymond Arroyo tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio and Television. Up next for us is Louise, a first-time caller in Mobile, Alabama, listening on Archangel Radio. Louise, you're on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hi, Father. I wanted to ask, I've already given up meat on Fridays past year now for my sister as a sacrifice for my sister's condition. What more could I do for Lent? Should I choose another day to give up meat? And also, I've heard from friends that if you give up, say, like wine for Lent, on feast days you can have what you gave up for Lent. Is that true?
Oh, these are all good questions. Well, God bless you for observing the meatless Fridays throughout the year. You know, that was the former rule that was changed by Pope Paul VI. They changed the Lenten regulations, but you're still encouraged to do penance on Friday, so that's an admirable thing. You're welcome to give up meat on another day during Lent as part of your Lenten sacrifices. The tradition is that if Great Feast Day occurs during Lent, then the fasting is suspended. And that's, for instance, the Archdiocese of New York is the patron saint of St. Patrick. So St. Patrick's Day is March 17th. That always occurs during Lent. And as a result, dispensation is given by the bishop if it happens to fall on a Friday. But if it falls on other days, you know, people can eat cake and cookies or have a, you know, glass of wine or whatever if they've given up alcohol. Yes, and then there's always a debate, do the Sundays in Lent count? You know, Sunday is a feast day. It's the greatest feast each week. So I was taught, and I believe it to be the case, that, you know, Sundays are Lent. You're not obliged to keep your Lenten fasting or Lenten penances, but on the other hand, if you'd like to, you're also welcome to do it. So it's up to you.
There you go, Louise. That's the answer for you today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Jackie is in the great state of South Dakota listening on Real Presence Radio today. Jackie, thank you so much for holding. You're on with Father Murray.
Hi. My grandma, she passed away today, but I know that she was a Christian, and I don't really know how to pray for her, and I was just hoping that you could say a prayer for her.
We certainly will. God bless her. What was her first name?
Vivian.
Okay, well, we will pray for Vivian, because, of course, prayer for the dead is a form of charity, that just as we pray for people on earth, when they die, their soul may be in purgatory, and therefore, you know, with that in mind, we say, Lord, free that sinner from purgatory and died in the state of grace, but nonetheless has to make up for sin through spending time in the place of passive purification. So we offer prayers, sacrifices, we ask masses to be said for the deceased. So those are all good things. And, you know, God is loving and merciful, and therefore, you know, we entrust our prayers to Him and ask Him to shorten the time of purification for the soul that we're praying for.
Father, you think we could say a little prayer for the repose of the soul of Vivian right now?
Yes, we can. Dear Lord, grant eternal rest to Vivian's soul. Forgive any sin she may have committed through human weakness, and bring her to the joy of eternal life with you, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Jackie. Thank you so much. And you will have a lot of our listeners will be praying for your grandmother as well. Patty is in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio today. Patty, you are on with Father Gerald Murray. Go right ahead, Patty.
Stay strong, because I could hear the heartbreak from her voice. But for my own situation, I wanted to ask you for some clarity of and your advice. We've been able to be blessed with homeschooling right now with my husband.
Oops, Patty, you're kind of cutting out on us there.
I'm going to keep homeschooling. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. You cut out there for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, no, we've been having the privilege to homeschool, and my husband's still building up his business right now. And I just wanted to know what I could do, like, financially. I guess financially, life is starting to kick in. And so I'm wondering, should I be putting the kids in school so I can help financially, or is it best just to keep taking care of?
Okay, I'll jump in and answer. That's a good question, but, and only you and your husband can answer it. You know, it's homeschooling is a wonderful thing, but sometimes it's not possible due to the need for both parents to be working. So you have to make that decision based on what you know to be your circumstances. And if you cannot continue to homeschool, then you can continue to supplement what they learn in school. You know, with you and your husband and in the time after work.
God bless you. We'll keep you in our prayers today. 833-288-EWTN. That's our toll-free number. We could probably still squeeze in a call or two if you call us right now at 833-288-3986. Dave is in the great state of New Hampshire, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Dave, you're on with Father Gerald Murray.
Hey, Father. I noticed that people who practice their religion, Catholicism or other Christian religions, usually talk about the things, the good feelings they have about it. But when they talk to people who had bad experiences, that doesn't count for much. But my notion is that when you look at the physics, chemistry, and biology of the Shroud of Turin or the Chilmer of Our Lady Guadalupe, it's impossible to question those events. So I think that I wonder if priests should talk a little bit more about it from the pulpit.
Okay, yeah, well, certainly the miracles surrounding the apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary in different places, and specifically you're referring to Guadalupe and the miraculous image on the Tilma, those are great motives for belief. But the central belief, of course, is that Jesus Christ incarnate is the eternal Son of God made man, and he died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that he taught many things that we have to believe in and you know, calls us to follow him in fidelity to God's law. So, it's the credibility of the Christian message is reinforced for those who accept it by seeing the hand of God's providence throughout the history of the church, including these miraculous events associated with the Blessed Virgin Mary and other saints, because there are many miracles over time. So it is a good idea to draw people's attention. And just the way people, you know, live, hearing the story of something that happened will often prompt them to say, well, I better learn, I better study more the one that everybody's turning their thoughts to and thanks, which is to God and to Christ.
I want to invite everybody to stay tuned on many of these EWTN stations. Coming up next is Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Today's show theme is Mary and Christ's Passion. It'll be a good one. Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers coming up next on many of these EWTN radio stations. Norman would like to know, Father, why don't Catholics talk as much about the second Pope, Linus?
I don't talk about Linus a lot because I don't know much about him. I have to say that's St. Peter, of course, is all over the scriptures, and you know, he's martyr for the faith, and the great basilica is built over his tomb. So he's the center of a lot of attention. And then the successor, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, all these other ones, it's a good question.
The only time I hear about him is in the Roman canon.
Yeah, he's mentioned in the Roman canon. And, you know, certainly if you study the history of the popes, he's mentioned. But I have to say, don't know a lot about Linus.
And Kim says, I'm really confused. How could God keep Mary from sinning but also preserve her free will?
Well, because free will doesn't mean that we embrace sin, because Adam and Eve had free will before they sinned. And you wouldn't say that they were deprived of free will because they hadn't sinned up to that point. So Mary, because of the particular graces that she received through the Immaculate Conception, her free will is fixed on God and to do His will. So that's it. It doesn't contradict your free will. We generally think, you know, freedom, you know, walk into a grocery store. My freedom does not consist in the fact that I can shoplift. Shoplift is a misuse of freedom. Freedom consists of that I go into the store, get what I want, go to the register and pay for it. Because I'm following God's law according to His plan, which is that we don't steal. And, that's a freely chosen act that I'm doing. If I steal, I'm become a slave to sin, and basically I lose freedom because now I'm forming bad habits that are going to propel me or impel me towards bad acts in the future.
And Esther says, if a priest is living in mortal sin, how does that affect the sacraments?
The sacraments are still valid, and this is, you know, the church has defined this. It's quite clear. The priest who is living in sin celebrates a valid Mass. Now, he gives bad example if his sinful behavior is known, but it doesn't make the sacraments invalid because the validity of the sacraments does not depend upon the holiness of the priest performing it. In order for the sacraments to be valid, the priest has to use the appropriate words and materials, matter and form of the sacrament, and have the intention to do what the church does. You can be a sinful priest and yet baptize and say, offer the Holy Mass, confess people and forgive them, absolve them. So, yeah, that's. Priests should be holy because we're alter Christus. We are another Christ. We were ordained so as to make present Christ's saving actions through His sacraments and preaching. We're not. That doesn't affect the validity of the sacraments.
So, Father, since you're in the U.S. Virgin Islands, I'll leave you with a little Mother Angelica story you may or may not have heard. But she was at a conference, and there was a beach nearby, and she was walking in the early evening on the beach, and she got a little too close to a wave that washed up, and it kind of got her a little wet there. And she looked down, and she saw a drop of seawater on the back of her hand. And she said, our Lord said, Angelica, do you see that drop of water on your hand? And she said, yes. He said, toss that drop back into the ocean. So she was obedient and did that. And then he said, she said that he told her, now go find that drop of water and bring it back to me. And she said, well, I couldn't possibly in a million years find that drop of water. And he said, so is your sin in the ocean of my mercy.
Ah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Wow.
Father, would you would you leave us with
a
blessing?
That's the way, Mother Angelica.
Yeah,
God
that's
bless
right.
Her.
Would you leave us with a blessing, Father?
Yes, absolutely. May Almighty God bless all of our listeners, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Gerald Murray, producer Pedro Quiles, our call screener, Matt Kubensky, and social media maven, Mr. Ace McKay, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with Colin Donovan. Until then, God bless.